Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in time for the first half of KER Politics. Going to change the name of this, by the way, so it relates more to the foundation that Frieda and I have started. We are chatting right now with a gentleman by the name of Gerald Moulton. Jared has an MBA and he has an MS. He's a financial analyst. I didn't realize, Gerald, this is kind of interesting. I didn't realize that if you got a master's in accounting, that was considered to be an MS. But I guess it is. You have also passed the FINRA Series 7, Series 63, Series 9, and 10 exams. And your educational background, which I just described, is you have an MBA from East Carolina University and a master's in accounting from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. You've passed all four sections of the CPA exam. That impresses me a lot. I have a similar education, Gerald, as you do. I did not go into accounting, but let me tell you, being in the business world for as long as I was as an independent consultant, the advice that I gave two of my daughters very strongly was, if you plan to go into business, you don't have a choice as far as your dad is concerned. You have to get the CPA designation. Frieda, take over.
Leah, you deserve a lot of credit for a lot of work you've done, and you've also founded a nonprofit to support families in need. So I was just wondering, how is that going as well?
It's going great. Of course, due to COVID, you know, things didn't go exactly as planned, but it's going good. We've been receiving, you know, a lot of support, people interested in exactly what we're doing. So upcoming, for example, we have two events that I'm really passionate about. One is a turkey drive that we do in my hometown of Kinston, North Carolina. And then we also do a toy drive as well, where we work with some of the homeless shelters and, you know, we'll obtain a wish list from some kids. So I'm always interested in those two events and, you know, participating in it. And I definitely, you know, appreciate the people that support those two events as well.
So we're talking about this, and we're also talking about America and our society at large. How do you think your nonprofit could make a difference to us, the people in America, and what do you think we could do as well as an example to make this a better place?
Yeah, well, this start first with, you know, your first part of the question is what do I think my nonprofit can do to make a difference? You know, the reason I really started this nonprofit, well, it's a couple of reasons, but for one, the thing I'm real passionate about is making sure kids, preferably, you know, more so minorities, African-American males like myself, that they have the courage and the motivation and they believe in themselves that they can do whatever they put their mind to. You know, I just recall throughout high school, you know, there's certain statistics out there. You have things that you see on movies, you know, things of that nature where the portrayal of a black male sometimes I think is it can be misguided. So, you know, one of the reasons that I like getting in front of kids and, you know, we have the nonprofit and the way I see us making a difference is putting that belief in kids and minorities like myself, you know, that they can do anything they put their mind to if they have a plan and they put in that work to achieve that goal. As far as America in general, I just, you know, I just think there's so many classifications kind of going on right now, you know, politics, Republican versus Democrat. It's just classifications everywhere, and I think regardless of you know, whatever side you might be on or whatever side you support, I think there's just the opportunity for everybody to really just sit back and listen to the other side and try to get an understanding of their views, of their beliefs, and just kind of taking an objective approach to it, and, you know, and be open-minded. Because, you know, there's things that I believe that, you know, that I firmly believe that over time, as I met with different people, based on kind of their beliefs, it might have shifted my view. So, I just think it's definitely an opportunity for all of us to really take a step back and just respect each other.
You know, I think respecting each other, Gerald, is probably one of the smartest things that we can do as a country. You know, I am very much of a political junkie, and I hate to see the animosity that's existing right now between the two sides. And the only comment I would make on that is that it makes me very sad that we can't work together. And the only question that I have, and this may catch you a little bit off guard, and if it does, easy for you to simply say, I really don't want to respond to that one, is it seems to me that one side of the coin is doing everything it can to make a better place for Americans, and the other side of the coin seems to be going in a direction of big government, where the big government will actually make decisions for people like yourself and myself and Dr. Birnbaum. That scares the daylights out of me. Gerald, do you have any comments on that?
I guess I can say, you know, without putting, I guess, out there, like, whatever, you know, what side I'm on or what political party I support, again, it just goes back to really just listening to both sides, one side supporting just having this big government and everything. I mean, if there are certain things that they have in place or policies that, you know, that makes sense of, you know, whatever they're trying to implement, the side that I guess doesn't necessarily support those visions or beliefs should still just have an open mind and listen to it. Because I mean, the thing is, there could be some synergies that exist, you know, from both sides. But I think right now we're just in this environment where, you know, let's say I represent one side, you represent the other. You might say something that's very logical. It makes sense. But because, like, I'm so stuck to being, you know, on that side, so to speak, I'm immediately just going to shut you down and not, you know, and not even have open ears to what you're trying to say.
Well, you know, that's all so true. And it's, extremely important right now for us to keep moving forward. And what's going on in our country today is just as chaotic as the presidential debate, or maybe I don't know which one is more chaotic. But you know, we're doing something that is questionable. Punishing instead of crime prevention. Should we go ahead and make sure that we have social workers, people helping? I mean, your way of operating in your life is to make a difference and help people in that way. What is your observation about this social working, you know, and environment to help people instead of punishing them from the acts that they're doing today? Do you have any kind of feelings about that?
Hey, Gerald, I got to interrupt you. Gerald, hang on one second. We've only got a minute here. You've got the entire minute yourself, and then we have to take time for a commercial break. You're on, sir.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, my fiance, she's actually a social worker. So, you know, just some of the things she's really taught me and that she's aware of, I see it as being definitely beneficial. Like, for example, one of the things with my nonprofit is we're set up to be like this youth diversion program where instead of, you know, a kid getting in trouble at 16, 17, them having a record that's going to impact them long term, which happens nowadays. It should be these programs in place where, you know, where you have social workers that can meet with them, and as opposed to them having a criminal work record. You know,
Gerald, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, but we're going to get right back into this with Dr. Birnbaum right after the commercial break.